Thank you for your presence today. We thank you, God, for each one that is here. God, we just want to lift you up. We want to praise you. We want to just thank you for all that you do for us. We pray for Brother Daryl as he comes and delivers your word in a little while. Lord, we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, there's nothing spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. For I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it.
You won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming out.
praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood 'neath the dead, we could never afford. Since they are many, His mercy.
Okay, Genesis chapter 2 and 3. We I know Mother's Day is next Sunday. I knew we'd be taking a break from the book of Matthew that we've been doing on Sundays, and so I just want to take this week also. We'll take a two-week break, Lord willing, from Matthew, the book of Matthew. And used Genesis a couple weeks ago in that message, the two declarations. I used the story of Genesis. I didn't use it, of course, like I'm going to this morning, but as I read through this story, the story of the fall, Adam and Eve, several things came to mind that I didn't use a couple weeks ago. So anyway, I want to share a couple thoughts with you this morning out of Genesis 2 and 3. Your hard copy says 1 and 2, but it's 2 and 3. There is a outline on the backside of your announcements if you'd like to use that. There'll be what we're going to do is just kind of jump from verse to verse. I'm not going to read all of 2 or all of 3, and you follow along with me on that outline as we go through the scripture. I'm actually going to use the screen. Saves a little bit of time, me trying to find it in my Bible. So we'll begin Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, and look at a couple things. Temptation is the name of on the title page, Temptation, How the Devil Works on Us and Tempts Us. Genesis 2, 8. Begin. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden. This is important, to tend and to keep it. 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So the next screen is a steward, is to maintain and improve. So you got that story, right? God planted a garden. Now, by him doing that, since he made the world and everything that is therein, he planted a garden, means there were boundaries around it, okay? We don't really know much more than that. So there, God put the man that he made in the garden to tend and to keep it. Now, weeds and thorns hadn't come yet, so he was there to maintain and improve. He was now the steward of the garden God had given him. The garden had a perimeter, boundary. There's also one other boundary in the scripture we just read, right? God planted a tree in the middle, and said that tree in itself is a boundary, so to speak. You don't eat of that one tree. You've got everything else, and this is what I've given you, but you stay away from that one tree. A steward is to maintain and improve. So he wasn't pulling weeds, but he was improving what God had given him. That's what I really want you to listen right here. That's what he was doing, improving, maintaining, improving what he had been given, what God had intentionally given him. I'm going to assume Adam learned how to prune back. Many, many examples of that in Scripture. Jesus uses that about learning, doing, about pruning back the grapevines, pruning the fruit trees. I'm assuming, and I looked this up, and there's no way to know when we learn to graft trees. Now, that's not pruning trees, but grafting them. And there's just no way to know that. I'm assuming Adam learned that. And I don't know if you know this or not. Many of you do, many of you don't. Every fruit tree you buy from the store is a grafted tree. Every fruit tree, every nut tree that you buy is a grafted tree. Now, I'm not up here to explain that all, but I'm assuming Adam learned how to do that. He knew how to prune. Maybe he learned how to graft. He was there to maintain and improve what God had given him. Maintain and improve what God has given him. Now, we're not really talking about Adam, right? We're not here to talk about him. We're here to talk about you. To maintain and improve what God has given you. Okay, here's the problem, though. Right as we go on the outline, chapter 3, 1 through 5, the story goes along. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Her answer, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, of that tree that God has said you're not to eat of, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's where the temptation is. The next screen, tempted by what God has not given you. That's where the temptation is. The temptation in and of itself is not sin. It's no sin to be tempted. It's sin to give in to it. But tempted by what God has not given you. Now, I get it that they were in a relatively easy situation to know exactly what God has given them. I'm not. I have to spend a lot more time at this. I have to work at this. I have to pray at this. I have to study at this. There are things in the Bible that are plainly recorded that is not God's will for me. He has not given it to me. Okay? That is exactly the situation Adam and Eve were in. The tree was not given to them, but the temptation comes along. It's not going to be a temptation to improve what God has given you. There's no temptation there. The temptation is to start to look after, try to get, reach after, obtain what God has not given you. So that's always where the temptation is going to come, what God has not given you. So there are a lot of things in Scripture, plainly written, black and white, that I'm not supposed to be involved in. Still, Satan will come along and tempt me along the lines of what God has made very plain to me. This is not what you're to do. This is not what I have given you. All right. But then there are other things that are more subtle that I wrestle with, that I am not so sure of. Some things, right, are easy to know. Some temptations are easy to disregard. I'm surprised often about what tempts other people, because those things don't tempt me at all. I'm trying to think. I'm surprised because of what maybe you give in to. I would never give in to that because there's no temptation to me. But then the reverse is also true, right? You would be surprised at what I give in to. Like, how could you give in to that? I mean, why would you even care? I love chocolate and peanut butter milkshakes. That's got to be from God, doesn't it? I used to do chocolate, and then I figured out you can put peanut butter in there. I said, it's got to be from God, but it's not from God all the time, every day. That's just fun. But some of our temptations aren't so fun, are they? And it's harder to know. Here's our quandary, our dilemma. Is what I'm doing what God told me to do? Is what I'm doing what God told me to do? In other words, to go along with the storyline, is what I'm doing what God has given me? Or am I just doing it on my own? Am I trying to get it on my own? Am I trying to obtain it on my own? The career, the job, the school, the house, the church, the relationships that I'm in, is that what God has given me? Or is it just what I wanted? Have I given in to temptation along the way by chasing after someone or chasing after something, or chasing after an occupation, or whatever. You get the point. I could just go on and on. The list is really endless of the things that we might look after, want, be tempted by, that God has really not given it to us. It's there. I can take it. Eve could take it, pull it, pluck it, but it's not what God had given. So therein is the issue that we have every day, checking with God. God, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this what you have given me? Or am I chasing after something that you have not given? Well, how do you know? I'm just going to say this right now. If you are intent on staying with praying 5 minutes a day, you're not going to figure it out. Okay? You're not. It's not enough time. Okay? Eve, well, I'm going to get way ahead of myself. Eve was not alone with Adam, and Eve was not alone with God. Eve was alone with herself. Okay? What I want to tell you is that to really do this, to really be serious about this, to really come to the conclusion of, is what I'm chasing after, what I'm working for, what I want, is that what God has for me? Is that what God has designed me for? Is that what God has given me? Some of those things are not going to be so obvious, and it's going to take a lot of time in prayer. It's going to take a lot of time spending a lot of time with God, alone with God, to figure this out. It's not written on the wall. Some of this takes time. Some of it's easy. Some of it's not. And 5 minutes a day is not going to do it. Okay? What I'm encouraging you to do is if you're going to be a serious disciple of Jesus Christ who's walking with, looking for, working for what God has given you, then it's going to take a lot of time spent with Him to find out what this is that God wants for me, if you're serious. If you're not serious, you're going to do 5 minutes a day, okay? When you get serious, you're going to begin to do more. Why? Because you have to. Because God is going to take that time to begin to deal with you and talk to you. Okay, there's the first thought. Next one is all two sides of a coin. Chapter 3, we've already read the first verse. We'll read it again, and we'll read the sixth verse. Now look closely at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. We already read that. And he said to, here it is, two words, the woman. The serpent said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman was by herself. Okay? No one else was around. He didn't speak to a woman, a couple. He spoke to the woman. Then verse 6, she took the fruit, you know. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I've done it before, but there's a lot in that Adam taking the fruit from Eve and eating it. There's a whole thing going on right there. Okay, the next screen, two sides of this, is alone time. If you're not wanting to be a serious disciple of Jesus Christ, you're just going to shrug this off, not pay attention to it. It's not going to make any difference to you. You're going to walk out the door, and you're going to walk out the door the same as you came in. If you want to be a serious disciple of Jesus Christ, there's some things that the Word is going to say, the Holy Spirit's going to say to you right now, that's going to make a difference, okay? Alone time. The first side of the coin is that Eve was alone, and that's when Satan came to her. And she was not, we say it like this, she was not alone with Adam, just those two, okay? Obviously, he was somewhere else. But she was not, also, we do know that Adam and Eve walked with God, they talked with God, but she was not alone with God. She was alone with herself. Alone time. And that's when Satan came to her. It could be her, him, doesn't matter. It just happens to be her. But she was alone. Is it a sin to be alone? No. I've got that introverted personality. I love being alone. I love it. But I've got to be careful with it. Is it a sin to be alone? Of course not. Of course not. But you've got to be careful with it. And so she found herself in this situation where the devil could come to her easily and tempt her during this time when she was alone. I'm going to ask you if you're serious about overcoming temptation, if you're serious about doing the will of God and being a serious disciple of Jesus, monitor your alone time. Isn't that, for some of us, sometimes, somewhere, that's where the problem is? That the temptation comes when I'm alone in my own head. I'm not with someone else. I'm not even alone with God. You know what I mean? I'm alone in my own head. And I'm thinking about things that I should not be thinking about. And it leads to doing things that I should not do because I thought about them. And every deed begins with a thought. Every deed, every action begins with a thought. You thought about it. That's when we make the mistakes. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well, but I said it because I was thinking it. That's why I said it. Every deed, every action begins with a thought. So be careful and beware of alone time that's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your discipleship, for your spirituality, okay? And I don't know what that looks like for you. I do know what it looks like for me. But we're all going to be different in that way. But in that, so I don't know how to put the works to this. It's not my job. But I think all of us in the room would understand and know that if Adam had been there, that it wouldn't have happened like this. I don't know that it wouldn't ever happened. But the story would have changed if Adam had been there. If Eve had had Adam with her, does that mean I got to lug my husband around everywhere I go? No, no, no. And please don't do that because I just don't want to go some places that she goes. But anyway, there's something about the logistics of it, the workings of it. You do not act the same with someone else in the room. It don't matter who it is. The closest person to you or a stranger, you do not act the same with someone else in the room. You don't do the same things. There's something about all of us, it's just true, that when we are absolutely alone, we are not exactly the same person we are when someone else is there. Even the people closest to us. That's why you comb your hair. If there was no one, why would you comb your hair? There's no reason to, okay? Just as simple as that, you act different when someone else is there. It might be that there needs to be someone else there more often. Or it might be that instead of, someone else physically there, that you need to be alone with God more often. Eve was not alone with Adam, and she was not alone with God. And Satan comes along, okay? Nobody's going to know the answer to this except you. Nobody knows what's going on inside of you except you. Nobody knows what this means to you except the Holy Spirit and you, because no one else can see this. No one else knows this. I don't want anybody else to know it. I don't want anybody else to know what my weaknesses are when I'm alone. But I know them. And I need to monitor that. I need to watch that. The other side of the coin was that Eve was alone and Adam was alone. If Adam had been there, it wouldn't have happened quite like this, because no one acts the same with someone else in the room. If Adam had been there, now does that mean I got to hang around with my wife? No, it doesn't mean that. But maybe you need, and you'll know what I mean, maybe you need to hang out with your wife a little more. Or now replace wife and husband with whatever the thing is, whatever the relationship is, whatever the title is. You like your alone time, but there are people who need you. This is the other side of the coin. You like your alone time, but there, Adam may have actually been hanging out in a man cave. I mean, there, he may have had the original man cave. I don't know. But there are people in your life who need you, and you need to be there more. Okay? You know the answer to that. No one else in the room does. No one else in your life does. You don't believe that, though. And you don't, you know, you're not sure of that. Well, because here's what we think. I don't make that much difference. I mean, nobody really needs me. I don't, what could I do that makes a difference in someone else's life? While I was working on the, I've been working on the message for about 2 weeks, and I paid attention. A couple people, two people have come up to me in the past 2 weeks, just kind of confirmed. They came up to me in a store or wherever, in a public place. Hey, how are you? And they remembered me as their pastor. And you ever met, you everybody's done this. You meet somebody, hey, how are you? And you, for the life of you, cannot remember who they are. You cannot remember their name. You know, I mean, it's one thing to kind of remember who they are but struggle to get the name. I could not remember who they were at all. Hey, how are you, Pastor? Oh, I'm great. It's been a long time since I've seen you, you know, a long time. And y'all know this. You have more effect than you dream you do. You have more effect than you think you do. You have more effect than you can imagine that you do. You just don't know it. You don't always see it. In fact, you rarely will see it. But you have more effect than you imagine. People need you more than you think they do. I'll say it again. People need you more than you think they do. Why do you think that you're still here? What on earth is the point of you being here? Not just here, on earth. Why are you still alive? Because there's somebody who needs you. Jesus doesn't need you. You're not here because Jesus still needs you. Okay, some preacher somewhere is going to say that. They're absolutely wrong. You're not here because Jesus needs you. You're here because somebody needs you. Find them. Spend time with them. Now, spend more time with them. Oh, see, you're already reverting back. Oh, they don't need me. Yes, they do. That's why you're here. Somebody still needs you. Can you see that? Can you do that? Okay, here, I'm going to get rough with you right here. Some of our alone time is selfish. Because, you know, some of my man cave time is selfish. Sorry, some of my man cave time is selfish. I need to be out there with somebody. Okay? I need to be out there with somebody. So alone time has two different sides. Now, most of the men in the room are already mad. You know, I don't need you. I'm just kidding. There's two sides of it. We're spending too much time alone. It's hurting me. Spending too much time alone, it's hurting someone else. Okay? We need to get out there and spend godly time with each other. And then alone time with God, of course, as he begins to explain things to us and show us, this is the garden I've got for you. This is the will I've got for you. A lot of things to think about. A lot of things to think about and look at ourselves on the inside. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit right now. Is he speaking to us? Only we can hear that. Only we can know that. What is the Holy Spirit? There's been a lot of things in God's Word to think about. Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to change in me? What do I need to do to... What do I need to do to become more like you? Lord, what needs to happen inside of me? Lord, what do I need to do? What do I need to change in my mind? What do I need to change in my life? I'm going to ask you to stand with us. And this is our prayer time where we come forward in a public way and pray. And we just step out and we say, what we're saying is, Lord, I need to talk to you about this. We have some altars here. We have these steps here. We have seats here. If you want to come and pray, just talk to the Lord about some things that he's trying to talk to you about right now. Maybe some things that need to be changed in your mind and in your actions. Then that's what this is our opportunity to come and pray. So while they play and sing, if you want to come to an altar and talk to Jesus about anything, we invite you to come.
You are enough.
sustained. With you I'm resurrected. You overcame the grave. With you I stand in victory. Now what else could I
you are enough for me, Jesus.